to write, delve, dive into the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Come with us tonight, 2 Chronicles and chapter 29. Okay, Dr. Uche, I would please ask you to release a word of prayer upon the hearts and the minds and the ears of men and women, boys and girls watching tonight. Over to you, sir.
All right, let's pray. Father and God, we commit today's study into your hands. We bring the hearts and the minds of everyone who will be listening, who will be watching a recorded version later. Spirit of God, we ask that you just move within our hearts. Yes, we ask that you stir up our hearts, stir up a desire for you, a hunger and a thirst for you. Spirit of God, I ask that you touch and you minister to people, you know, where they need it, you know, how they'll understand it. You know, we might be saying, you know, the same thing, but let people hear it in the ways that they can apply it to their life. Oh God, help us not to just be hearers and help us not to just be discussants, but help us to practice your word every day of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Remember, there's somebody who might need this word, who this might benefit. So please, it's never too late. Send this Bible study out there to somebody. Names of people might pop into your mind. Just send it to them. Thank you very much. Good to see you again. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Dr. Uche, you opened the floor. The first Bible study we had in this month of January, when you began to share with us on this king called Hezekiah. Young king, 25 years old he was. Mm. The Bible tells us he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. The Bible introduces his mother's name, which was Abijah, and tells us also she was the daughter of Zechariah. And the Bible now tells us in verse 2, he did what was right in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father had done. And if you recall last week, sir, David was not originally his father. I mean, when we say originally his father, he was from the lineage of David, clearly. But in this particular
context,
he's telling us, introducing David. Maybe you just to do a quick recap. Who was the father of this young man called Hezekiah? Who exactly was his father?
So Hezekiah's father was a man called Ahaz. And Ahaz was a man who did not do what was right in the sight of God. He was basically an ungodly king that also got into unholy and ungodly alliances with heathen nations during his rule. And, you know, as we learned later on in this chapter, it was King Ahaz, that's Hezekiah's father, who shut the door of the temple and who defiled the house of God, basically, who instituted heathen worship and so on and so forth. So that was the biological father of Hezekiah. But like you rightly said last week, that was not who was referred to here in this verse. So,
Which, like I said, when I'm studying the Bible and I see things like that, it grabs my attention. Why is David mentioned and not the father Ahaz? Well, in other accounts, I think maybe in the book of the Kings, we can see him mentioned. But in this particular chapter of the book of Chronicles, chronicling the lives and the times and the accounts of these kings that ruled over either Israel or Judah, we see a direct link to David. That caught my attention. And then if we go further down, the Bible now introduces us to the first year of his reign. Not just the first year, but the first month. So we see this guy's priority. And I know you took us, when you took the study, you took us on that journey where, you know, everything step by step, what he did, how he, you know, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He repaired those doors. He brought the priests. He brought the Levites. He gathered them. He gave them instructions. And, you know, when we read further down, we see that these instructions he was giving them was according to the commandments of God.
Yes.
You know, which, of course, informed the topic you gave about the guide, the word of God. A guide. What did you call that topic again? I'm trying to remember.
God's guide. Decluttering guide.
Our decluttering guide, yes.
Yeah.
So everything he gave, the instruction they gave to these priests and the Levites were according to the commandments of God.
Yes.
So he definitely consulted what was written. The word of God served as the guide. So he wasn't just giving them some instruction, random instruction. Okay, you guys do this, you guys do that. He definitely had consulted the commandments that is written prior to even him becoming a king.
Yes.
So that is very instructive. If we're going to do anything, let's do it according to the word of the Lord, according to what is written, according to God's guide. So we see all that. You know, you went and you broke down everything. But then, I couldn't go past verse 3. And that verse 3 is where the Bible tells us the first thing he does. In the first month of his reign, he opened the doors, plural, of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So this was his own prerogative. He wasn't forced. He did it willingly. And, you know, when we read further down, we now see what the priests further did. If we go down to verse, let's see, verse, what that is, I think it's about around verse 15 or 16. Verse 16. Okay, let's go down to verse 16. Mm-hmm. So we see Hezekiah the king, he repairs the doors. He opens the doors and he repairs them. And then the priest, further down in verse 16, the Bible says the prince then went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. And then they cleanse it, and they brought out all the debris they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it out and carried it to a place, a brook called Kidron. So the king's priority was the doors.
Yes.
The Levites, the priests, they went further, they were cleansing everywhere, and then they went further into that inner part of that temple. Now, in a metaphor, according to the New Testament, Jesus was explaining, and also in the writings of Paul, we see that the temple of God today is us, our bodies. You know, we see that in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 6 and chapter 6, in both writings of Paul, that don't we know that our bodies is the temple of God, the temple of God, and that God actually wants to dwell in us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then if our bodies are filled with things, and you know, one of the things, in all sincerity, is our bodies can be ravaged with sicknesses. That is something physical that we feel. But then beyond that, our bodies, our hearts can be filled with all sorts of things that don't make God happy. I don't want to use a solid word, glorify God, you know, but that makes God happy. The things that God, who gave us the body, wants to see in our bodies. So one of it is sicknesses. No, God doesn't want sickness in our body. So if you're watching this tonight, as you're hearing this word, we send the word of healing and deliverance to you. We send the word of mercy, forgiveness, According to Psalm 103, the Bible says that God, he forgives. His benefits, right, is that he forgives all our sins, all our iniquities, and then heals all our diseases. So in the name of Jesus, as you're hearing this word,
amen,
pray and command your body to start getting healed now, to begin to amend.
Amen. In
the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, back to verse 3. The king, because there is no way the inner part of that temple will be so filled with debris and rubbish if there were no entry points.
Yeah.
The entry points into those inner parts were through those doors.
Mm-hmm.
So in a, also, in a metaphorical way, the inner part represents our hearts, and the doors represent five things. So the quiz, back to the quiz we started with. Let's see people's comments. Okay? Are people, what the people...
I think most people got it.
Sorry?
I think most people got it.
Most people got it.
Yeah.
Okay? We see a certain Uche. That says eyes, nose, mouth, hands. I'm wondering if that Uche is related to someone we can see on our screen. Okay, somebody just said nose. All right, that's part of it. Okay, see another anonymous person, very anonymous, called B. I perceive that this B dwells in the same sanctorium. Uche, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, and hands. Thank you for that. Okay. The sign. Yes. Thank you very much, the sign, with Abiola, for joining us tonight. Our eyes, our nose, our ears, hands, and mouth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. Thank you, Mojisola Bolariwa. The ears, eye, nose, mouth, and hands. God bless you real good. That is the handsome Chris Harry. Harry Chris. He says the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, and the mouth. He mentions mouth twice. Right. That's what I called a double. And the mouth are the doors that lead to our hearts. I think what Chris Harry might be telling us is we should watch our mouths tonight. We not sanctify our mouths for what we say, because this Chris Harry is emphasizing the mouth. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And eyes. Okay. I think Yemi is just mentioning them one after the other. Thank you, everybody, for all your contributions. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will take your questions. But let's just quickly look at, we started last week, we said number one, he repaired the doors. Okay, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 29 and verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Listen, this is prophetic, and it has a prophetic application. Because this word was a word while we were waiting on the Lord last year, praying specifically. Our focus was on the first month of this year, on the first day of that retreat, on the 20th of December. And the word of the Lord came to us as a people about us decluttering our hearts, using this scripture as a guide to show us how to declutter our hearts. This is the first month of 2023, people. If anything at all, every time I dwell, I think, I meditate on this word God has spoken to us, is so apt, Dr. Uche. First month of this year, if we declutter our hearts, imagine, we get rid of a lot of things, or all the things that shouldn't be in our hearts, 2023 indeed will be a happy and a new, because our hearts will be renewed, our hearts will be cleansed, our hearts will be pure. This year will be a happy, pure, new year.
Yes.
Indeed. You know, when you were teaching, I know you did mention what went wrong. You know, how did this temple get so dirty? And you were able to take us that, you know, it didn't start with Hezekiah. Praise God. It started with his father.
Okay.
For those who reigned before him, and especially his father, the past immediate reign was that of his father before he took over. Listen, somebody should listen to this prophetically. You had no control over the wrong choices, the wrong places that maybe your father or your mother, your parents did. And, you know, the consequences, of course, has come upon you and the family. But listen, you can change it.
Yeah.
You can decide that, you know what? Whatever choices my own parents made or those before me, it's not going beyond me. It stops with me. Like they say, the buck stops at my table, which means I'm not passing this buck. I'm not passing it. I'm not going to be a partaker, and I'm not going to pass it to those coming after me. Mm. Listen, make up your mind, somebody listening to this, that this first month of this year, you are going to stop anything. It could be an ancestral curse. It could be something that even medically has been explained to you as hereditary. Listen, hear the word of the Lord tonight. He can stop with you if you can do this thing that Hezekiah did. What did he do? He opened the doors. Dr. Uche, you don't open a door that is
already open.
That is already open. You open a shut door. So what are the doors? You know, this is just in another prophetic application that has been shut against you. You can open those doors if you follow the guide, if you follow the word of the Lord. But then let's focus on the application tonight. So last week, we dealt with three of those doors. We dealt, number one, with the ears.
Yes.
Because the ears is a door into our hearts. Take heed what you hear, Jesus said. Take it how you hear. Number two is our eyes. Eyes. Actually, and then we could see from the first sin, the first stumbling in the Bible of the first man and the woman. You know, the enemy came, Satan came, spoke in the hearing of their ears of Eve. We see that in the book of Genesis and chapter 3. Spoke in her ears. I mean, spoke, she heard it. And, you know, words paint pictures, because you are not only just hearing words. The words you are hearing are presenting pictures in our minds. So if you hear the words enough, you will see what the word is saying. And the next thing is you will carry out what you see. So what did she do? The Bible said, after the serpent spoke to her, she now saw the tree was good for food. So that's the ears and the eyes at work.
Yeah.
It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Please, watch what you hear. Watch what you see. Because they will start forming your desires.
Mm.
Look at it. Dr. Ocho, you want to read that Genesis 3:6?
Yeah, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
Wow. You know one thing, Dr. Uche? Between the ear and the eyes, and to also discover that food was pleasant to the eyes, I think something must also have played in there. And that is the smell of that fruit, you know? It's not written there explicitly, but the nose is number three door that leads to the heart. And that nose, we'll look a little bit about into it. I'll teach a little, and then we'll go into questions and answer. So the nose, all right, that nose, you know, what you want to eat, usually you will smell it.
Mm.
So Uche, if it smells bad,
Most likely you wouldn't eat it.
No. Have you ever eaten anything? No, let me put it this way. Have you ever tried eating something, and then when you perceived the smell, it just changed your desire to eat it? Has there been any example like that? Maybe somebody wants to quickly type in something they were about to eat. Or somebody's receiving a rhema now. That food you plan to eat after this study, please smell it first. Have you had any such experience? You know, smell the food first, okay? As comical as that may sound, can you remember anything you wanted to eat once and you smelled, or if you can't think of any?
I'm just trying to remember. But I think even without remembering a specific example, I think oftentimes when I buy things from the store, you know, they put the expiry dates on them. And then sometimes you don't get to use them before the expiry date. But, you know, especially if it's maybe, let's say, like an expensive fruit or an expensive salad or something like that, you know, it was just a bit costly. You know, you're a bit reluctant to stick with the expiry date. Mm. So if it's a day after the date, you open it and then you're like, can I just push it a little bit? So you often smell it and like, if it smells okay, then for me, I don't know, everybody's different. For me, I just push it, you know, if it's just like maybe a day afterwards. But if it doesn't smell good, then, you know, you just bin it.
Wow. So your nose plays a very important role.
Yeah, you know, Pastor, how I'll usually express that. They say best before. So they didn't say don't. All they're saying is that it's best.
So there's a hidden comment. Somebody said they went to buy a particular delicacy. For those of us watching who might not be of African descent, and especially part of western part of Africa, there's a food called fufu. And fufu has a significant anointed smell. And also, let me put it out there. Dr. Uche, do you believe I've never eaten fufu?
Wow.
Yes. And ask me why.
Because of the smell, is it?
Because of the smell. I have never. So there's a hidden comment here behind the scene. People may not see it. Is somebody been interested in the studio with us here? He said they went to buy fufu the other day. They had to smell it first because some fufu are actually not real fufu. Talk about somebody who has been trained, who has the expertise. Who can smell the original from the fake? Okay, so please, anyone who's interested in fufu, we can link you up with this particular fufu expert who can discern fufu just with their mouth. Okay, there's a comment there. The fufu smell is something else. Okay, what? Somebody's saying, Pastor, you are missing. Fufu is beautiful. Okay. I'm not sure about that, but Dr. Uche, fufu.
Yeah, I mean, I love fufu. So
come on. All right, all the fufu people.
Pastor, the comment you just said, you know, someone who's trained her nose to be able to differentiate, you know, it's actually, you can draw a parallel, you know, in terms of what we're talking about today. You know, when you train your nose in terms of, you know, perceiving the word of God, perceiving what the Spirit of God is saying, then you can actually tell, you know, the real from the fake, you know, and so on.
Thank God for that. But then, you see, there is something significant, and let's look at the last three, and then we'll take questions. And there's something we can draw, a spiritual truth and parallel from an encounter of a man called Isaac with his son Jacob. Mm. Now, let's go, and you will see the nose, the hands, and the mouth at work here that influenced the decision he took. Now, the background to this story, people, it's in Genesis. Let me see the scripture again. I sent it to the media team. So if they can, okay, let me just call it out and then the media team can display it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, we read from verse 18. Now, the background to this story was that this man, Isaac, in Genesis chapter 27, he had two sons. One was called Jacob, and one was called Esau. Now, traditionally and culturally, Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was the second. So when a man is getting old, the culture then, and is about to pass away, he puts the blessing on the firstborn. And then, you know, the secondborn and the rest of them take the remnant. So Isaac was about to release that blessing. He was now very old. Verse 1 tells us that he was very old at this time, and he could not see anymore. So the seeing now is being affected, right? So I want us to get the background very well. And then one day he calls his first son. I want to bless you. So this is all I want you to do. Go and get me my favorite food. And the first son, Esau, is a hunter. So he said, make the food for me. I will eat it before I die, and I'll bless you. So that was his background to this story. So he goes out to go and look for that favorite, you know, went game hunting to bring the food, prepare it. But then the mom, who had the second son called Jacob as her favorite, heard and really wanted to, you know, she wanted Jacob to get that blessing. So she quickly called Jacob. Your father wants to bless your brother. You know what? I know what he likes. I will prepare that same thing, but you will go and pretend that you are your first, your brother.
Older brother, yeah.
But then Jacob protested. My brother is hairy. I'm not hairy. He said, don't worry. They now got fake hair, goat's hair, put it on his skin, you know, you know. Okay, anyway, don't let me say something that'll get me into trouble now. you know, so there's nothing new under heaven. You know, people have been pasting here since the time of the Bible. You know, the mother put fake hair on his hand so that his hair will feel like hairy, like his brother Esau. So they prepare the food, and then verse 18 now tells us what begins to happen when he brought the food. So in verse 18, Jacob now brings the food. The Bible says he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Now, remember, the father can't see anymore.
Yeah.
But he can still hear.
Yeah.
His hearing was okay, but his vision was impaired.
Yes.
So he had to confirm, who is this talking? Because in his hearing, he was hearing the voice of his second son, Jacob. Mm. So let's go step by step. And Jacob said to his father, look at it, he played on the man's hearing again. I am Esau, your firstborn, and I've just done as you told me. Please rise, sit, eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac now said, the father said, how is it you found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because your Lord, look at this, your God brought it to me. This guy's name, Jacob, supplanter, a cheat. He was living up to his name indeed. Okay, so let's go on. Look at now the power. The next thing we're looking at now is the hand, okay? Which is the door to the heart. So in verse 21, Isaac said to Jacob, okay, please come near me that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. The hands, people, is a door to the heart. The hands, what we touch, and of course also the work of our hands, all right, what we do for a living or what we're living for that we're doing is a door to our, it affects our heart. Mm. It affects our desires. Yeah. So look at it. He said, I will fill you. So Jacob went near, verse 22. He felt him with his hand. And he said, oh, this voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, the Bible said, because his hands were hairy, like his brother's, Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He blessed him just by touching him. His heart's disposition changed. Mm. That was the thought to his heart. After blessing him, look at his uche. Mm. The man was doubting. Verse 24, he said, are you really my son, Esau? But he had released the blessing just by touch. People, watch what you touch. Mm. Okay? And are you really my son, Esau? He said, I am. Then verse 25, he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. Look at it. He brought it near to him. Look at it. What did he do? He ate. He tasted that food with what?
His mouth.
His tongue.
Oh, his tongue. Listen,
the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love the fruit will eat of it. But look at it. It's our tongue is a door into our heart. It what we eat, people, influences our hearts. Do you know that Esau, that the brother we're talking about here, what caused him to lose his birthright, to sell his birthright to his brother? What he ate.
Yeah.
People, watch what you eat. Okay? Those of you who eat fufu, watch. Don't eat too much fufu. Don't eat too much. Okay? Too much fufu can make a fool out of you. Too much of fufu can make a fool. That's a rhyme, okay? Okay. He ate, he brought to him wine, and he drank. Taste. Death and life. Not just the things we say, the things we taste, the things we eat. They are doors into our hearts. They influence our hearts. And out of the abundance of the heart again, the mouth speaks. You know, one way you can check, you know, the heart of somebody is through the things they say. Their tongue. That's another dimension to it. Mm. The Bible warns, James warns about the tongue. He says it's a boneless member of the body, but it can set nature on fire. Your tongue can get you into trouble. Both what you say and what you eat, what comes out, what goes in.
Yeah.
The tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Look at it here. Somebody lost their blessing because somebody tasted something. So, a lot of things we can glean from these people. And then the Bible said, in verse 26 again, look at it. The man was still doubting.
Still doubting.
Isaac. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, kiss me. What was he trying to do here? The Bible said, he came near, verse 27, and he smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord had blessed. Remember, the mother did not only put the hairy stuff on his hands, but also made sure that he wore something that smelled of like a shepherd's clothing.
Yes.
So, people, those are these five doors. Beware of them. We will expound more on them as we round up this teaching on Sunday. So at this stage, let's just take questions, take people's contributions, so that we can address some of these things. I believe the Spirit of God is expounding these things, you know, to us as we are hearing these things. So remember the five doors again. The ears, the eyes, the nose, the hands. Those are the five doors that can, if that entry points that that will cause clutter into our hearts. So let's watch it, people. Let's take the questions, and maybe therein we will address more things. Okay? Remember, You can ask questions on slide. Let's start with those watching via Facebook. You can put your comments or participate or ask questions. From YouTube, you can also do so. And you want to ask anonymously, go on Slido. All right, let's do that, the hashtag again. If the media team can display that to us. Hashtag again is J-E-S-U-S, capital J-E-S-U-S. All right, media team, help us now. Okay, the sign with Abiola, thank you. You're the first sign tonight. Sign and wonder. You shall be. Okay, question there. I don't know, Dr. Richard, you want to read the question?
All right, so I'll just read it out. So, good evening, sirs. Thank you for this topic. I have a question. How do we begin to declutter long-standing, wrong generational mindsets in our families in order for us to truly live the abundant life?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. If you, you know, this particular scripture we've been reading is a very good guide. If you recall from what was said from verse 3, he looked at the doors, they were closed, and he repaired them. He took the initiative to address these doors. Yeah, we've broken down the doors, but remember, how did the trouble, the debris, and all these things enter that temple? They came from, what you're saying like that, the generations before him.
Yeah.
So we can apply this. They were kind of informed the wrong mindsets you're talking about here. The decisions his own fathers made and those who ruled before him affected not only the family, affected the people they were ruling as kings.
Yeah.
So following this example, number one, start with the doors. Don't go to the heart first. You know, we want to change our mindset. Beautiful. But please start from the things you see, the things you hear, the things you smell. And that smell is prophetic. We expounded on that last week. It's not just about the smell. Two things. You can smell, but then the breath, the nose, is symbolic also of what inspires you. The Bible says in Job chapter 32, verse 8, there is a spirit in man. It's the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. When God made man in Genesis, the Bible tells us he formed the dust, he breathed into his nostrils, that he inspired, he turned that clay into a living soul that now has a mind, a soul that can think, that can learn, that can make decisions. So these are the things. Start from yourself first. If you fix those doors, if you begin to watch the things you hear, the things you see, the things you smell, what inspires you, what's giving inspiration. A lot of us are on social media this age, and we have what is known as social media influencers. You know, you're following all manner of people. I tell people this, Dr. Uche, I want to know where you are going before I follow you. I follow you because 1 million people are following you. Where are you taking us to? They influence everything we do. They are the ones breathing into us, inspiring us. So that's the nose. Who is inspiring you? What's inspiring you? Who are your idols? Who are your mentors? Fix these doors first before you go into the heart. When we fix these doors, what's the work of our hands? What do you do with your hands? Are you getting me? The Bible says the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Are you dipping your hands into iniquity? What are you doing? Right? Check all these things. Check all these doors. Start with the doors first. Start with you. Okay? Once you fix these doors, now you are watching what goes in and what comes out of you, especially what goes into you. So if you fix these doors, then let's go into the heart. You know, the Bible talks about thoughts, imaginations. In 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 10, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. and bringing every thought to the captivity, obedience of Christ. Romans chapter 12 tells us how our minds are renewed, transformed. It's by you what you expose yourself to. The things you can capture our thoughts, bring them to the obedience of Christ if you know the word of God. We are cleansed by the word of God. So you know what? Now that I've fixed my five doors, listen, just expose those doors now to the word of God.
Yes.
What Uche taught us. Let the word of God now be your standard, be your guide. And of course, listen, there is the Holy Spirit that God promised everyone that received Jesus. Are you saved? The context of being saved is, you know, you've asked the Lord to cleanse your heart, but not just cleanse it. Take away that heart of stone. Take away that heart of sin, that heart that's always desiring evil, and ask God to give you a new heart. Now, when God gives you a new heart, he pours a new spirit. That is his own spirit. Mm. So you have the word of God, you have the spirit of God, and that begins to guide you. The spirit of God is now your inspiration.
Mm.
The Bible says, as many as are led by that spirit of God. So let the spirit of God be what inspires you. Let the word of God be what guides you. That way, you begin to declutter, just following that pattern of Hezekiah, and your long-standing wrong generational mindsets, you begin to deal with them daily. When you look at it, that Romans chapter 12 tells us that we renew our minds. It's not a one-off. Constantly. You know, Dr. Uche, all the prayer meetings we've been holding this January, reoccurring, is that this decluttering is not just a one-month thing.
No.
It's got to be a lifestyle.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to add to that.
No, absolutely. Pastor, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe, says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. So you have to see yourself within the context of that scripture. And you can only start doing that when your ears and your eyes are beginning to focus on the right thing. So like Pastor said, it's really doors to your heart. Those doors, as you repair them, then your heart itself becomes more aligned with God's will concerning you. And then just to be more specific regarding your question, when you begin to experience that sort of liberation in your own thought pattern, then you can be an agent, you know, within your family to start spreading a different kind of mindset.
Amen. Yeah, and there's something I've learned, you know, practice myself. There's a cohort of people who signed up for it, 21 days on how to detoxify, declutter your mind. The first 21 days will be ending around the first week or thereabout in February. I will be starting another one. If you want to join that, watch this space, watch our social media handles, where I will, we're teaching us practical ways on how you can deal with things that are there in your non-conscious mind that you may not be aware of, or you are aware of, but you don't know how to deal with. So like generational mindsets, these are some of the things we deal with on that 21-day journey. So it's just something practical. If the person who asked that question would like to know more, just look out. We can you can join the set next cohort of that. Okay, let's go to the next question. Okay, another one. Okay, Dr. Uche, do you want to read quickly?
Okay, another one that just came to my mind, and I know a lot of people can relate. How can we declutter from a wrong marital relationship? How can we declutter from a wrong marital relationship?
Okay.
I think this question requires more context. You think so? A wrong marital relationship, is that like you're married to the wrong person, or within the marriage, you know, certain things are going wrong, or?
Okay. You mean if the person can be a little bit more specific?
Yeah, okay, let's just answer it, you know, in maybe like a general sense, and then maybe the person is specific.
Says a lot of people can relate, okay? At times, you know, what we think a lot of people can relate to may actually not be so, because we are struggling to relate with this now. In the sense that we want, maybe, can you please give
a relationship? And I think that's the one a lot of people can relate with, you know, maybe if you're in a wrong relationship. But if you're already married, you know, and, you know, so decluttering in what sense? You know, so I think maybe just a bit more context. I don't know.
Okay, let me just take a little bit of dive. Okay, I think it's
wrong person.
Married to a wrong person. Now, this is deep. What I will, first of all, really suggest is please go for counseling. Okay? It's not something we can deal with just an answer. When you're talking about marriage is deeper than at times some of the questions. And I'm saying this from the perspective to the glory of God. I am an experienced marriage counselor. So some of these things are deep. At times, you may think that you're married to the wrong person. It's just a thought. And the thought is reinforced by maybe the things that are happening in the marriage. You know? So it might just be, that might just be the thought. The problem might actually be the foundation of the marriage. Maybe when you married, you didn't have a proper understanding of marriage. You didn't have a proper, you know, pre-marital counseling. So, you know, we enter marriage with expectations, and our expectations might actually be wrong. So because expectations are wrong and you can't get those expectations met, we conclude we are married to the wrong person. But also, why don't we also look at it from this perspective? That wrong person might actually be you. Not the person. I'm not saying that in this case. But, you know, at times, it might not be the person. It might just be a mindset. So please, I would please, as much as you can, to get more clarity, because we can't give a blanket answer, please go for counseling with a trusted counselor, okay? Please go for counseling. I will suggest that. I don't know who the person is, but maybe they can contact us and we can signpost you and see whichever way. So let's leave it like that. But some of the pointers, you know, at times when things go wrong, is usually the foundation. So the foundation itself may be wrong, not necessarily that the people, the personalities are wrong. So if you fix the foundation, then you can fix the house.
Yes.
That's I can tell you that from experience as an experienced married counselor. Let's go to the foundation and start from there. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for that, the sign. God will give us more signs and wonders.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do we have any other questions, people? Slido Doe, please hashtag. You can ask your anonymous questions. How do we declutter from close family members? I think declutter from close family members. Okay. Dr. Uche. There is something personally I'm meditating on.
Yeah.
Let me share a bit of my meditation with this question. You see, there are basically four kinds of relationship. We can bring relationships in life under four broad categories. Okay. And one thing that we have to understand first, people, when it comes to relationship, is that there are some relationships we have power to choose. I can choose I want to relate with XYZ, and I can choose I don't want to relate with WRS. or even I'm relating with XYZ today. Tomorrow, all right, well, I'm doing away with XYZ. I can choose those kind of relationships. All right? And that's one of the categories of relationships under the brother sense, the broadest sense of relationship is people outside of our family. Okay? Family is not a choice we make. No, we don't choose family. There is a divine hand that chooses family for us. So because it's very good when we understand the fundamentals of relationships, then it will help us to know how to deal with them. Right, I'm coming up with a book. There's a teaching I've done sometimes during the lockdown, 22 things about relationships and marriage. If we can dig that out from somewhere and put it out for people to maybe listen to. We dealt with those four categories of relationship, right? So there's the relationship that's got to do with family members. You didn't choose your family. You know, God chose family. And of course, there's relationship with God and there's relationship with self. So those are the four broad categories. You know, we can choose our relationship with God. The relationship with self, it takes a lot of resetting because some of us have low self-esteem. And it's as a result of maybe families we are born into or experiences life has thrown at us. Some we chose, some mistakes we made, some we didn't. So for example, close family members, do you know they are not your choice? Family is family. And I know families tear apart. I know families go through a lot of good, bad, ugly. There are family members you don't want to have anything to deal with anymore. So, but you have to first of all understand that you didn't choose family. If you come from that perspective that God chose those family for you. And one of the things I'm learning is that whatever God chooses for me, God knows why.
Yes.
So I wouldn't completely throw away family. First of all, thank God for family, even if it's a horrible, terrible, somebody might say, oh no, come on. You're talking like that because you don't know my family. Listen, I don't know your family. God chose your family. I can say that with every conviction and due respect. So let's start from the perspective of God. God, why did you choose this kind of family for me? I remember when I was young and one of my siblings, I won't mention which one, we fought literally every day. We will fight and fight and fight and fight because he might be watching now. It's an open secret. We fought one day, Dr. Uche, that we beat ourselves silly and we were outside. We were in a neighbor's house. We tore each other's clothes that we almost stripped each other, naked. But we tore everything save the one that covers the sanctum sanctorium, And I remember that, it was so embarrassing that the neighbor who saw us and saw the way the state we were in took us to our mother. And I remember immediately, our mom saw us. God bless her, she's late. she burst into tears. Do you know what she said, Dr. Uche? She was saying, God, what kind of children have you given me? God, what she was crying, sobbing. That touched me. I will never forget. It touched me. Well, I'm just saying in a comical way now. We can laugh over it. But she was saying, God, what kind of children did you give me? Listen, God gave her good children. At least this one has turned out well now. So is every other party I know. But what I'm just saying is, look, appreciate what God gives you first. It takes God to give you the wisdom. This is where I'm going. With all the, going around the bush that may appear to someone. It takes God to give you wisdom on how to deal with family because he chose family for you. I will not tell you there's a hard and fast rule on how to deal with family. But look, God gave you that family. appreciate it, whether they are horrible, just like father and mother, you had no choice, but God still say, honor them. When you honor them, it will be well with you. Yeah, God was going to bless an Abraham. God gave him wisdom on how to deal with his family. He said, leave your father's house. Leave your family, kindred. That's God instructing an Abraham. Some other people, you are not Abraham. Don't use that as a scripture.
Yeah.
God can actually tell you, get close to your family. Love your family. You are the light. Your family is in the dark. I've appointed you as light. Go shine that light to your family. So it takes God. That's just where I'm going. To help you to know how to deal with what he gave you, which is family. You had no choice over family. God bless you. And I pray the Spirit of God will expand these things to the person who did actually ask that question. It may not be the answer you're expecting, but listen, I'm saying this to you by the Spirit of God. Okay, do I have another question, please? Is there no question on Fufu? What does it mean to be a man after God's heart? I think that scripture about David tells us, I will say this, number one, you know, I'm throwing things back to us asking questions tonight because it's good for us to have a better grounding when we have more understanding. Now, David was the man God described first, we see in the Bible, a man after my heart. So, in you know what? Just go and study David in the Bible. For example, just take that as a personal Bible study. Okay? God, why did you describe David that you found among the sons of Jesse, a man after God's heart? But, you know, in a summary, when you say somebody's after God's heart, this is one thing I've understood, Dr. Uche. We can be after God's hand, and we can be after God's heart. What do I mean? You are just asking God, please give me this, give me this. Lord, I'm broke. Lord, we need food. Lord, I need a new job. Lord, I need a new wife. Lord, I need a new husband. Lord, I need this. Lord, that bless me, bless me, bless me. That's God's hands. You are just after what God gives. But after God's heart is, Lord, what are you saying about this matter? Lord, what is your will about my life? Lord, why did you put me in this family, this kind of family? When you begin to know, ask such questions, you're after the heart of God, after God's thoughts, after God's mind, after God's will. You know, that is what to be after God's heart. You know, David was the one who wrote something, as the deer pants for the water brooks, my soul is longing after you, not after your hand. So that's the difference. You can have two sons, okay? Analogy of two sons. One is always coming to you. Daddy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. Daddy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. And then the other one is coming to you. Daddy, I notice you are not smiling today. What's the problem? Daddy, you know, you said this the other time. What did you mean? He's not asking for things. He's asking for the mind, the heart of God. He's seeking, he can see God's countenance by looking at his face. You know, our faces describe our hearts too. Somebody's smiling. Oh, maybe something, they're happy. So those are just two analogies. All right. Do you have any more questions? Any more, please, so that we can, okay? I think that's it. Thank you very much. Somebody put a comment. The Holy Spirit is the greatest influencer. Please follow him. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. That is awesome. Thank you for that comment. Is there any other one? Okay. Yes. Thank you. The sign with Abiola. The person says, hallelujah, this is so profound. It's going to be a lot of work. Thank you so much, sir, for your answer. To God be the glory if that answer, the response, at least helps and addresses some things. To God be the glory. Wow, I can see one of my Very, 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 very good. Pastor Gbenga Ogunsola, all the way from one powerful place like that. That man is a big man of God. He's celebrating as one of my men. Thank you for joining this broadcast all the way from Nigeria. I loved your wonderful wife. Great testimony. God bless you and your family and your children. Thank you for joining us tonight. I think that's it. Media team, we are good. I think we're good. Facebook, glory be to God. Thank you for that. I'm hearing like a plane is about to take off. Is that sound coming from your end?
I think it's probably coming from my end. I don't know what's happening outside. I don't know. I think it has stopped now.
All right.
So I don't know if there were some emergency services around.
Okay, is your door open? Because
No, my door is shut.
Just open the door, bro.
No.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Uche.
Thank you.
Profound teaching, the word of God being our guide to declutter. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. On this note, Dr. Uche, do you want to pray for us again, and then we'll hand over to the media and production team.
All right, thank you. All right, let's just pray and commit everything you've heard into the hands of God. You know, we come on these studies every week, and we don't want it to just be a ritual. We don't want it to just be a ceremonial exercise. We want it to be periods of an encounter with the Holy Spirit where we're actually transformed by the things we hear, you know, even through the questions that are asked and, you know, the answers that are given. You know, maybe someone has asked a question that was on your mind, or maybe an answer that was given also addressed a burning issue in your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not for you, maybe it's for someone else that you know, but just take it on board and, you know, like Mary, just hide them in your heart. You know, for you don't know when the time, the circumstance will come where you'll need these things. But just pray on everything that you've heard. You know, repeat some of the things you've heard or you've learned or you've been reminded of. If you have to repeat them to yourself, meditate on them, chew on them. You know, just, you know, roll over these things in your mind. You know, ponder on these things so that the Holy Spirit activates them and brings them to life. You know, in your everyday life. Lord, we thank you for everything you've taught us this evening. The doors to our hearts are so critical. You know, help us to guard them. You know, for those of us who've had some of these doors broken down or shut or damaged, you know, through one thing or the other, oh Lord, we repair them by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, because our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, and our hands are now blessed. They can now become portals of entry for your Spirit, for the things that edify, for the things that glorify, for the things that will empower us and enable us to do your will here on earth. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Amen. And amen and amen and amen. Amen. Please, if there are still burning questions in our hearts, please, it doesn't end here. You have the Spirit of God. But then I also kind of just to emphasize, please, some of us might actually require counseling. I pray the Spirit of God will lead you and direct you to where to seek counsel. Please, this decluttering, like we said, is a continuous thing. And God Almighty will help us all. Amen. We are all learning. We're not experts. I've still got a lot of clutter in my house that I'm dealing with. And you know, Dr. Uche, the more you get this clutter out, it's as if, wow, more out there. God will help us all. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Amen.
God bless you, and bye for now.
Bye, everyone. God bless you.